This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. We're heading for Rangers baseball once again coming up at 6:30. Here's Wolchuk with some NFL sounds of the day.
All right, let's go to Up and Adams, Kay Adams Show. She's always pumping out glorious content this time of year, and she had DeSean Jackson on the show. Now, this was a tough one for D-Jax because, you know, he did play with the Eagles, also did spend some time in Washington. And Kay had a pretty good question about, all right, well, you got Washington gets Deebo Samuel. Cowboys just got George Pickens. Which one do you think has the bigger impact? And here was DeSean Jackson's response.
Who do you think will make a bigger impact, George Pickens on the Cowboys or Deebo on the Commanders, as far as taking out your beloved Eagles? Who will make a bigger impact this year?
Damn, why did you do that to me?
I thought that was so easy because you won't pick the Cowboys.
As easy as it is to say, it's hard to say in the same sentence. But I think George Pickens is going to be a bigger impact. I think, obviously, Deebo, I think he's a good implement over there. Jaden Daniels had a heck of a year as well, too. So, I mean, Dak, you know, Dak's a regular season hero. I just don't know how he's going to transition into the playoffs. But as far as regular season, I think the Cowboys will have a better production from CD and George Pickens if we're going to just talk about receivers.
So what do you think? Bigger impact, Deebo or Pickens? But then also just a little side swipe on Dak Prescott, their regular season hero from DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, that's honest analysis.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah, I would say it's not on Dak. It's on your team showing up, and Dak's part of the team, right? But I think their offensive miscues have been, you know, well detailed. They can't run the ball. You know, I guess you go back to 2016. They could run the ball. They get in a hole, but they scored, what, 34 points against the Packers that day, right? When they could run the ball, you can score. The error is the front office thinking Dak can go be Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady in these playoffs. Dak is good enough to get this job done. But, I mean, the facts are the facts. You haven't got it done in the postseason enough. So that's an act. Now, as far as the other questions, Pickens. Mm-hmm. Deebo's past his prime. Yeah. Deebo's washed up. Pickens about to play with the best quarterback he's ever played with. Yeah. So, you know, I think Deebo's hanging on by a thread and talking a good game.
Yeah, I think the wear and tear on Deebo. Like, how much is he even going to play? Pickens is a guy that is healthy, and he, I do think he will be a downfield focal point in a way that has him with quite a bit of production. Deebo, I just think the health factor, and he's kind of lost a little bit of a step there. So I would go with Pickens as well. I think Pickens is just the better player.
I think Jackson did a good job. You know, he just got the job at Delaware State.
That's right.
As a coach. So I think he gave this one some thought. He didn't go with his heart. He said, hey, as a coach, I would say this guy has got a better shot of being a more productive player. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely right. I think that when you're starting to talk about Deebo Samuel, if he can stay healthy, he's dealing with a back, a shoulder. There's been some issues. The wear and tear has been kind of strong on him. You know, and depending on how the Commanders use him, you know, he could flourish, or he could absolutely be like, if they try and hand him the ball as a running back and all that stuff. That's why they got Kroski Merritt to hand him the ball.
Yeah.
But see, that's I appreciate that Jackson kind of thought this through like a coach. He sees a better opportunity for Pickens for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that overall was a pretty accurate response. I'm with him. I think George Pickens over Deebo. Now, I'm interested to see how exactly they use Deebo in that offense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you do have to worry about him just getting banged up. That's just kind of the style in which he plays, and that's one that's not going to age great for Deebo Samuel. So I'm expecting a big year for Pickens and the contract year. He's got everything to play for, really motivated. Go out there and earn your money. So I'm leaning Pickens here. Now, we had Terry Bradshaw. He was on 103.7 The Buzz in Arkansas, and they're talking Steelers football, and specifically Aaron Rodgers. And here is Terry Bradshaw not having it with this A-Rod talk.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback?
That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to do, bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark.
Chew on bark.
Yeah.
He needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark.
Yeah, I think that was part of a rant where he was saying he liked Pickett. And they never should have moved on from Pickett.
Oh.
And this is like one of those private type of, hey, I'm going to be Terry Bradshaw, the entertainer, and you want to hear my aw shucks, good old boy hot takes. And I get that. But, I mean, if all you have is 1 year of Aaron Rodgers and you don't have a young quarterback, you have to do this Aaron Rodgers. If you don't do Aaron Rodgers, you got to do Kirk Cousins. You know, I from getting the full context of that, he was on one talking about we should have stayed with Pickett. I don't know why you drafted him so high that he moved on from him. And he's an idiot for thinking Pickett can play.
Oh, yeah. And he also just clearly hates Aaron Rodgers. So did everybody there.
I mean, his sensibilities. Yeah. He's very annoying. You know, I mean, personally, I kind of do take offense that things have been put on this planet to bring us closer to God. And people talk about it like it's cocaine or heroin. You know, it's not a party drug. It's a spiritual experience, you know, and I think we should respect that part of Rodgers because he is so broken as an individual. He has gone to the edges of the world to try to fix himself.
Try and heal.
You know, he even went on that damn darkness retreat. It's not for fun. I mean, he said he panicked. You know, he said it was a real harrowing type of deal where you get like sleep paralysis. And, you know, people that go through that aren't going to have fun. You know, they're not doing party drugs or chewing on bark for, you know, they're doing it because they're highly, highly broken. And they believe those drugs improve their relationship with, you know, the Holy Spirit.
Are you kidding me?
Go chew on bark.
I mean, why else would they be on this world unless God intended them, sure. You know?
It's going on ayahuasca retreat, G-Bag Nation style.
That burning bush, bro.
Who survives? Yeah. Damn right, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Rodgers doc?
No, I haven't seen him. He annoys me. I don't like him.
Yeah, I couldn't. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I just can't stand it.
Did you circle back on that?
Yeah. No, I definitely watched it.
What'd you
yeah.
think?
I mean, it was
probably better than the Favre doc.
Is he an enigma?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would say he definitely is. I think the biggest problem is, like, he's not going to God. He's like appreciating the rocks and the trees as if they're God. He's not actually looking at who created that. He's just thinking about the rock being something so special. He's like looking at the scenery, like this is all wonderful.
Taking it all
like
in.
Who created the rock? He's worshiping the rock as if it's its own creator.
So appreciating nature can put you in presence. And those hallucinogens are like jumping the line to presence. It gives you like pure, uninhibited presence, right? So when you're doing like the mindfulness, nature mindfulness, that's to try to eliminate the distractions of the brain, right? Because this is all the human monkey mind going crazy. I'm trying to strip that down and just be pure presence. And like those exercises in nature, right? That's God's creation. You're trying to get in harmony and frequency with nature out of respect that God made that, right? And the people that venture down that path, I think find some peace, you know, find a Godful grace about them, similar to how, you know, people who would go to a traditional church service do. Well, that was heavy, you know, but that's the way I look at religion and spirituality. I appreciate listening to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there are some elements to that. You absolutely appreciate God's creation, but I don't think he ever takes it back to God. At least when I watched the documentary, it just felt like, wow, he's like putting everything into what the grass and the bark and the rocks are doing. And that's God. It's like, no, God created that, and you should absolutely appreciate the creation. I don't think he takes it back to God. I don't think he actually wants anything to do with God. He doesn't want anybody to tell him, hey, this is how you should be conducting yourself. He still wants to do just what he wants to do. So it, I, that was so a, you, that was so a frustrating
your,
part for
your view
me.
Of religion then is a rule book that you obey to qualify for the afterlife?
No.
I think his view of spirituality is different. Well, I mean, you said he doesn't want to listen to anybody tell him what to do, and you're right. I think he wants to be a piece of life on this planet that God created, you know, and leave the conclusions to what they actually are, which is a big mystery that nobody can agree on.
Mm. Yeah. It just feels like he misses.
He's very look at me individual, in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I'm not really sure what the hell he believes. And sometimes it wavers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he knows really what he believes. Yeah. He hasn't found it yet. He's still on the search.
He's searching.
He's still trying to figure it out. He doesn't actually have like a firm grip on what reality is going to be for him when like he's clinging on to football. Like it's everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy, he can't let go of football because he doesn't understand that there's more to life than that.
What is he without football? And that probably is a terrifying thought to him. And it's probably a terrifying thought to a lot of players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why he's seeking something else.
Right. I admire him for trying to figure it out. It's just like, at what point are you going to get to a point where you feel like you have come to some conclusion?
Sure.
You know?
All right. Let's get to Isaiah Likely. Now, this is
his trips were a lot different than mine.
Who's
Rogers? Well, you have to remember,
I was in the Baton Rouge Zoo watching, laughing at a monkey.
Well,
chewing
the blue
gum.
Dolphin's very different to the ayahuasca.
Two different things.
Go 5 heroic grams of some mushrooms, and it'll knock your socks
really,
off.
That's
for the whole year, squeezing your life.
I just was wondering.
You'll see it so clear, it'll scare you.
I just was wondering. I just remember how hard I was laughing at the Baton Rouge Zoo with that monkey chewing gum. And how fast his mouth was moving. I thought that was the wildest thing in the world.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So we know that Lamar Jackson's like trying to trademark the 8 and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So Isaiah Likely wants to change numbers with the Baltimore Ravens. So what number is he going to wear, and what's going to happen if that number is, say, taken? Here's Likely on what he might decide to do here.
See, I like 1, but 1's on standby for that boy that wears 8 after we get the whole, after we do that right there. 8 got first dibs. Once we hold that Lombardi right there, 8's
he's
the going
to change his number to 1.
That's what you want to do. That's what you told him their rookie year.
Wow.
I think I forgot that story. Knew that story, that he wants number 1.
My thing is though, right? See the vision though. See the vision. If we win, right? When we win, 8's going, boom, switch to 1. Then I'm going to look at 8 and say, look, I think it's time to just pass it up. Just pass up 8.
But you're gonna wear 8.
I'm gonna ask him.
Is he gonna ask him?
Really, he's gonna ask him.
I'm really I'm like his little brother. So it'd be crazy for him to say no.
Well, first off, the Ravens might not want you to do that. Number 8, if they win a Super Bowl, like number 8, Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's probably going to be a retired number, possibly. I don't know. But him wanting to then pivot to 1, which supposedly he said, I don't remember this, his rookie year. He probably did. We can probably fact check it.
Oh, Lamar doesn't even remember saying it?
Lamar, who is also doing this whole trademark thing with 8, but his whole plan is if they win a Super Bowl, he's switching from 8 to 1. And Isaiah Likely then, their tight end, wants to take over number 8.
I do think 1 makes sense for Lamar Jackson.
Sure. Was he 1 at Louisville? No, he was 8.
He was 8
at Louisville.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild, though. If you want to trademark 8, you're making it a big brand. Now Kobe was 8, then 24.
That's true.
You know?
But did he trademark 8?
I don't think so. I don't think he can trademark
there's
it.
That wasn't like, a thing. There's stuff going on about this. Troy Aikman's beer?
No, I think the actual Richard Childress Racing has the trademark on the 8.
There's been issues with this.
Yeah.
His whole trademark deal. Maybe that's why he's more open than ever. It's like, screw this 8 thing. This is causing me a massive
He wants to retire 8-1 with the Ravens. He said his dad told him, get number 1 because that's the best number and you're the best. And then when he got 8 with the Ravens, his mom said, well, that represents new beginnings. So now his plan is to retire both.
Well, I hope it works out.
Sorry about that, Isaiah.
He's got the vision.
It's going to be retired.
Yeah,
so my whole plan is to retire this.
But, hey, I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
He's going to ask him plenty of times.
It's worth asking.
He's like his little brother. There's no way Lamar's saying
no. There's no way he's going to say no to this. That is hilarious, though, because he is going out of his way to make the 8 be
like synonymous with Lamar Jackson, and only Lamar Jackson, but his big plan is to actually pivot to a different number at some point.
If they win the Super Bowl, they hoist Lombardi. Next year, he's going to rep the one.
Even Kobe's, I don't even remember what was the deal with Kobe. That was never a planned thing, right? Like that sort of just happened.
It was surprising.
Like organically. It wasn't like he had set out to do that.
Bizarre. Absolutely
crazy.
That's
a funny one.
I'll try to figure out why Kobe switched to 24 if there was ever an explanation on that. But, yeah, it's always interesting to me. Of course, LeBron, 6-23. You know, it's a thing.
That's true.
It's a thing.
Yeah,
changing
numbers. True.
Okay, we got to run. Let's talk some hoop, Chief. Where are we going?
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh featuring the Mavs 20-year window, and we drink the tears of Knicks fans next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And time now to talk some hoop. A lot of text coming in. Kobe switched to 24. He wore 24 in high school briefly. I like the people saying he was always trying to be, you know, like Mike, or maybe 24 was one better than Mike. But yeah, he said he wanted it to symbolize, you know, a demarcation there in the middle of his career to the second half where he kind of became the Mamba.
Right.
Okay. So
rebrand.
Yeah. Maybe a little rebranding. Yeah,
a little rebrand.
Yeah.
Clean this up a little bit. Remember me back in the day before that?
Yeah. Young and innocent as a 24 numbered sophomore. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Eric with some hoops.
Let's go ahead and cut the lights out, ladies and gentlemen. We put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the Dallas Mavericks are the favorites to land a legendary point guard. This guy's name is Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
I'll take it. How bad did he get last year in San Antonio?
I don't think he was terrible. I mean, I'm pretty sure he played all 82 games. He averaged like just under 30 minutes a game.
Come on.
And he's still a floor general.
How many teammates did he smack on the back of the head?
That was probably
point at a spot on the court.
Yeah.
Bow, too many right to there, count. Fool.
How many days did he forget that he's not the head coach?
I heard he smacked Wimby over the head when he found out about the blood clot. He was just pissed about it.
Yeah. Man. Get better.
Yeah.
He averaged just under 9 points and 8 assists per game.
Hey, man.
You'll take that, man. You just need somebody to step in while Kyrie is healing. And then afterwards, who cares?
It's unbelievable, his career. 40 years old now, you know, but he's having like 40-year-old Jason Kidd type of seasons. I think he can keep on going.
Agreed. If you told me that ends up being the move there for the Mavs as they try and supplement the Kyrie Irving injury for a while, I'd be like, okay. I mean, this guy can dribble. This guy can initiate the offense.
And when Kyrie comes back, 20 minutes a night, you know, that would be a hell of an acquisition, I think, you know, and he's staying healthy. That hasn't always been the case in his career, but it is now, you know, and you know how quick and strong he is, and you know about his court IQ. It's a game that can age well, and he's never needed height to be effective.
No. Mavericks minus 120 at Bovada as the favorites to land him. Then it's the Lakers, Clippers, Cavs, and Grizzlies. So we'll monitor this. I know Mark Stein was throwing out Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
And I believe Rich Paul is his agent. So you have some of those connections there. But
man, I like that addition as well. Like if you could get CP3 and Lonzo, but you got to count on Lonzo playing like 50 games most, right?
Exactly.
He hasn't played in like 2 years. Really.
I don't even know what his game logs look like over the last couple of years, but definitely not pretty. So CP3, maybe a Mav. We'll see. Here is Mavs assistant general manager, Matt Riccardi. He was on the Mavs Studio 41 podcast, and he's talking about how the Cooper Flag stuff, getting the lotto balls to land in your favor, has now taken this window and stretched it out mightily.
It makes the window 20 years instead of 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not we got to go win it all. We're trying to win it every single year. And the guys that we have, we felt like before this draft lottery, that we had a good enough team to win the championship. And now we get the chance to add the number one pick to this. So we're ecstatic for that, but it's business as usual for us. And whoever we get, which the kid from Duke, as you've mentioned,
right?
You're bringing in someone that's won everywhere he's been, who's played above his age everywhere he's been, who's going to walk in and be ready to go. And whatever that role will be, we see it as more of another thing. We get to bring these guys, the 21-year-olds, the 22-year-olds that we have on this roster, around slowly through the veterans that we have on this team. So when those guys are done playing, I think it'll be way more than 3 years. I'm hoping it's 5, 6, 7 years when they decide to hang it up, some of our older veterans. But when they're done, they're passing the torch, and they've shown these guys how to become NBA champions.
Gosh, this guy sounds like he should be the GM.
Why? Because he's from Plano?
Just a fellow Plano Wildcat talking all kinds of ball.
Is he a Wildcatter? Because yeah. I know he's a Plano guy.
Yeah, he's Plano Wildcat.
How old is he?
He graduated.
Sounds about 38.
04, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Based on my
wow, homework. Sounds like I nailed it.
Yeah. You did, yeah.
You know, I feel like you're only going to keep a championship window open for a couple of years. And after you win one, the windfall of cash might be so big that you're willing to risk losing money the following year, like the Celtics did, bringing back Drew Holiday. Hey, we won it. We're going to make a lot of money this year. Let's go ahead and invest in the team and see if we can go back to back. But now that that hasn't happened and it's kind of blown up, unfortunately, in their face, they're talking about trading Jaylen Brown. So I say all that to say you don't get a 20-year window. You don't get an 8-year window like the Warriors did anymore with this new CBA, basically, that they agreed to. I think you can put it together for like 2 or 3 years. Because what you need to do is find a number of guys making less than $20 million a year that are playing better than that. And when those guys come up for their contracts, you're done.
Right.
They're going to go. They're going to get the 35 or 40. Like, the reason the Knicks are so good right now is Jalen Brunson wasn't a superstar when they signed him. So they got him for 30. It's over half of less than the Supermax. Oh, how are you so good? Well, now I can afford a full-on roster. So... And they'll have that for a couple of years until Jalen Brunson is a free agent. And if he wants to continue to do team friendly deals, they can keep that thing together. But that's going to be a rarity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now you're talking about. I think the Nuggets are the perfect example, winning a title, and then you see role players go get money that is a little bit more than what they're probably worth. You can't match those deals, and then all of a sudden you're whittled down to a starting five, and that's all you can really hope for. Yep. And so, yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Can you draft well? You know, it's very much like the NFL. Can you draft your bench every year?
Yes, you got to have a litany of younger, cheaper guys that can contribute for you. You mentioned the Knicks, and even the Knicks right now, they're struggling because it kind of goes back to the Nico, Luke is not playing defense thing. Maybe you can have one of those guys, but you definitely can't have two of them.
No.
Brunson and Kat on the floor together, for as awesome as they are offensively, and you saw Kat go off the other night to help lead the Knicks to their one and only win in the series, but you're also getting three L's because they can be had defensively.
Yeah. I mean,
what Halliburton was able to do last night, a triple-double, 32, 15, and 12, four steals, zero turnovers. I mean, that is like truly unheard of. You've never seen that exact stat line in an NBA postseason before. Never with the zero turnovers. He was outstanding last night, and they're able to just... I mean, you have Mikal Bridges, you have OG Anunoby, you got lockdown wing defenders.
Yeah.
But when you have two guys that are just getting blown by, then a team like the Pacers can just totally take advantage of you. And they don't have the obvious turnstile weak link that just gets hunted in a series.
Yeah.
And again, you can maybe have one of those guys if you just had a Brunson or just a Cat. It's like, sure. Hey, he's given us enough offensively, we'll try to hide him defensively, whatever.
Until he gets to Boston.
You can't. Yeah, exactly. Until you run into the gauntlet.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't have two of those guys.
No, absolutely not.
And
no.
That's what's happening to the Knicks right now. They don't have it.
Not to give credit for Nico, because I would not have made that trade. It was the wrong trade to make. But choosing, hey, we need to go Kyrie or Luka. I think everybody would have chosen Luka. But then consider, Luka's going to get between 70 and 80 million a year on his next contract. And Kyrie's sitting here at 40. So that keeps us out of luxury tax threshold. Mm-hmm. Once you go luxury tax, you're dollar for dollar. Every $1 million you spend after, that's $2 million. So the difference between Kyrie and Luka is $30 million of cap space and $60 million of cash.
Right.
It's not, you know, again, you trade Luka for much more. You don't do what they did, but that kind of explains why, you know, Nico felt justified. And then I think Luka not being friends with him and Kyrie being friends with him,
It's like, we got to choose already. We can only have one bad defender as a star player.
Yeah, yeah. And so I get that viewpoint from Nico. As you said, the trade itself was a disaster. The execution of it was awful. But trying to have a team filled with no one on your team that is worse than at least an average defender.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have guys that are out there that they can't, you can't just pick on one or two guys, because that's what you're seeing with the Knicks right now. By the way, game three of Knicks Pacers averaged over 7 million viewers.
Mm.
Most watched Eastern Conference game three since 2015. So that brought the eyeballs.
Yeah, the Knicks.
The Knicks are going to be able to certainly do that. Now, the Pacers are fun to watch. Their offense is pretty electric. The Pacers fans were, did you hear them all meowing?
No, I did not.
As a chorus when Kat was at the free throw line last night?
No way.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
They brought it. They brought it. Yeah. Yeah, they brought out all the celebrities, and McAfee's on the court cussing and dapping
God.
Up Rick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was awesome. We'll probably play McAfee at some point, maybe in the hodgepodge, something else later, because that was some epic sound. But the Knicks are getting it done right now, and Halliburton, he's the real deal.
They need it, because this is about to be the lowest rated finals in the history of the league.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's going to be really fun, though. That's what's annoying, dude. Like, this is going to be, Thunder Pacers is going to be an awesome.
Be great hoop.
Well, it's like we're like Rangers Diamondbacks. We don't care, but nobody watched, and nobody's going to watch this.
The most expensive ticket in OKC home game history, according to TickPick, the get-in price, $172.
Yeah, let's
watch
go.
Your team what? Advance to the finals.
Jeez.
Let's go say hi to Rick.
Isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
A rim session in the books as we get set now to chat with Jared Sandler. We'll get our Rangers preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing, and we're back with that here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now to catch up with Jared Sandler for a Rangers preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, yeah, you know, tell me, we got Corey Seager coming back, and we're waiting for Evaldi news. What's more urgent for you right now?
Well, I think this is nothing against Nathan Evaldi, because he's obviously been a Cy Young caliber pitcher, but I just think you get an MVP caliber everyday player for a lineup that is really struggling, that getting Corey back is huge. Now, I'd obviously love for both. You know, I think this team needs both those guys. So I think, you know, choosing between one or the other, it's kind of a no-win situation. But I think getting Corey back, given that this team has struggled mightily offensively, is going to be huge. And, according to Bruce Bochy, we talked to him earlier, I think they feel like they've got some good news with Nathan Evaldi. Now, he's not necessarily going to miss a start. They might push his next start back a few days. So instead of, pitching on 4 or 5 days rest, it might be 7 or 8 days. But I think they feel at this time like that's all it's going to be. But, as I've told you guys before, until we know for sure, until we hear, hey, this guy's back on the mound, he's scheduled to start this date, then I guess, it's kind of a wait and see.
Jared Sandler here with you on the Fan. So, what are you thinking about Osuna in the chances after just 3 games? Hard prediction, Jared, but can he settle in at the big league level, or is it probably heading for a dip and a reset? Because this is so much fun, and he's given the spark. The conversation yesterday with us was outstanding, and him with you on the pregame was great as well.
Yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame, is it too soon? I mean, he looks like Rugi. I once said Rugi was a Hall of Famer, right? So, Gavin, here's the thing. It's obviously incredibly tough to predict, what the arc of his season is going to be. I think just like any young player, he is likely going to experience a stretch where, things get really tough. But what I really like about him is that he has such great command of the strike zone and plate discipline. And so, that might fluctuate a little bit, right? I think, typically when a guy slumps, sometimes they expand their zone a little bit, and you know, they do things that maybe aren't characteristic for, you know, to what's true to their core as a hitter. But I think with a guy like Alejandro Osuna, who does have good strike zone command, you know, you just like his chances that more often than not he's going to put himself in a position to succeed. You know, he's going to try and get into favorable counts when a pitcher's not throwing him in the zone, pitches in the zone. And it just seems like he goes up there with a good sound approach. So, you know, I don't know like what the ceiling is for him. And I think for any 22-year-old, I don't know that anyone really does. But I do feel good about, hey, whether he's hitting in the middle of the order like he is, you know, again tonight, or maybe you bump him 7th, 8th, 9th. He's a guy who can help balance out some of the aggression in this lineup by giving you quality at-bats.
What's the latest on Evan Carter? And just, you know, for conversation's sake, if at the deadline somebody called you and was interested in Evan Carter, I think at one time we would never think about moving him. But just looking at the injury and a 21-year-old with a bad back, would you be considering that if you were the Rangers?
Well, it's a great question, Zach. I think it's obviously a fair question. If they are in a position right now, I'm trying to think like the best way to break this down without giving you a 7-minute answer, right? So if they are competing, I don't see it happening during the season just because he represents something that this lineup doesn't have a lot of, and I just mentioned it with Alejandro Osuna, and that's patience and plate discipline and the ability to maybe work a walk, and then he's got great speed and he can play center, right? So it'd be really tough to get all of that out of the organization if you're competing. Now, if you're not, you know, if the Rangers are kind of in the middle or they're not, then I guess, you know, perhaps they would consider anything, maybe short of trading like Wyatt Langford. But yeah, I think they'd have to consider that. But then I think the question then is, all right, what does that look like? And other teams are aware of his health status too. So would you be selling low on Evan Carter? And, you know, are you better off just sticking with him and seeing if, you know, he can stay healthy and become the player that, you know, we've seen him be on a consistent basis? So it's a great question. I think it's maybe one that the front office has had to discuss in a very difficult way, you know, and trying to predict things that just are tough to predict. But I think if this team's competing for a playoff spot, I think he offers too much to move him, especially given that you probably would be selling low.
Who do you expect to see busting out the bullpen tonight?
Man, Hobie Milner's been busting out of the bullpen here, and Bruce Bochy said he would be available again tonight, but that's a great question. And how about that? We were trying to teach him some more words earlier today, but I don't know. Emily Jones went with somewhere I'd never even heard it, Sigma or something? I don't know. What's that?
Ligma?
Oh, no, Sigma. It is Sigma.
I have heard that too.
I've never heard that. I was thinking Batty would be a better one for Boach, but the bullpen did a really nice job last night. It's nice to see Robert Garcia, you know, settling into that role in the ninth inning. We see someone else in the ninth inning given the situation, or you know, depending on who's available, who's not, but. I think he's got the type of stuff to succeed in that role. But at the end of the day, if you're displacing Luke Jackson, it's important that he's valuable and productive as well, right? You know, the tough part when you lose a guy in a closer's role is you don't want them to just become a non-factor. If you can repurpose them and find a way for them to be successful in a different role, that helps tremendously. And so it's nice to see, you know, Luke Jackson's had success now pitching in some non-ninth inning situations here recently. But with using Jacob Latt's 3 innings, hopefully they can get 6-7 out of Tyler Mahle. If not, then, you know, maybe this might be a Caleb Bosley night where he's going to have to step up and give this team something.
Hey, Jared, I was going to ask you about, you know, when you talk about Garcia and maybe as a closer role, do you feel like he tries to overthrow sometimes?
I don't know.
Is that a stupid question? I mean, I was watching the other night in Chicago trying to close that thing, the day game in Chicago, and just felt like that there was, you know, he gets 2 strikes, and the next thing you know, he's trying to throw it like he's Randy Johnson kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think that's broad. That's a probably, I don't want to say a common malady for certain guys. I think, you know, in those amped up situations, You hear that a lot. Guys say, yeah, you know, I was just overthrowing. I mean, heck, we've heard Jack Leiter say that with two strikes, he's been overthrowing. So, I definitely think that there are probably times when, that's been the case. I don't know if that's like a constant issue. And frankly, I don't know.
I was just thinking for a closer.
Yeah, no. Listen, there's a reason why there are guys who are great in the seventh inning and guys who are great in the eighth inning but not in the ninth inning. And I think some of it's the mental side of it, right? And maybe some of it is the physical side of it, where you just, for whatever reason, you can't control how the emotions impact you physically. But he's looked good so far. That's a good question. I'm happy to ask and can report back to you, I guess, if not tomorrow, then on Friday.
It's Jared Sandler here, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Okay, we're totally sure Seager's healthy. There's no reason to be concerned that this training staff struggling with muscle pulls.
Well, I'd say, Gavin, in fairness to the training staff, this is something that, Corey has dealt with, in the past and before, coming to the Rangers too, right? And maybe being a bigger body, maybe I don't know like the science behind it, but maybe it's tougher to maintain that. And maybe there's certain people who are just more predisposed to this stuff. I don't know. Can I tell you that he's 100%? I don't know that I can tell you that. I can tell you that what I know about Corey and what, I think Rangers fans have maybe learned over the last few years is that he might miss some time, but that doesn't mean he's not playing through, a lot and busting his tail to be out there, right? And I think he probably is aware of what's going on. This team's having a tough time scoring runs, and he knows that he can help. And I think it's a tough balance for an athlete anytime, but I think in this situation specifically, second time hitting the IL with a hamstring issue. And so there's the balance of, well, I want to make sure I take enough time so that I hopefully don't have to go on the IL again the rest of the year, while also not taking too much time because, gosh, the team could use me, right? I think it's a tough balance. It's a lot easier if you're a role player maybe versus a guy who everyone turns to as the anchor of this lineup. So I think, they definitely waited a little bit longer this time around than last time. I think that, he's probably healthier this time coming off the IL than he was earlier this season, but it also might be something that to some degree he's going to have to manage the rest of the year.
I'm sorry, Jared, I'm transcribing your responses as I always do during this segment. Was that busting his tail or bussing his tail?
That's a great question. I think I want to make sure I'm not saying anything inappropriate if I say bussing his tail. I think his tail is bussing.
There's a bussing.
Yeah. His Agreed. Tail is bussing for bussin'. Sure. And hey, guys, it's great that he's come back against the Blue Jays. I was looking at his numbers against Toronto. It's absurd. He's got a career .457 batting average against the Blue Jays in 22 games. Like, it's not like five games. I mean, it's pretty nuts what he's been able to do. He's got hits in 21 straight games against the Blue Jays. So happy to see him back in the lineup against Toronto here tonight. Hopefully the Rangers can put up more than two runs.
Do you think Nico Harrison would have traded Corey Seager?
Gosh, Nico would have traded Corey and Wyatt Langford, and he would have, asked for, Andrew McCutchen.
Can't stay healthy either. Their tails are too bussing for Nico.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Sands. Have a good night.
Thanks, fellas.
Catch up with you soon. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Must follow for Rangers fans. You good, Brian?
Yeah, the traffic down here is like, what's going on, man? It's been like that all day.
You watchdog in the highway right now?
I am. I'm a little concerned.
Well, it's 5 o'clock.
We are 90 minutes from pregame show.
I totally didn't look at the time.
6:30 pregame tonight, 7 o'clock first pitch. Rangers looking for the rare series win. Wolchuk's been a little snipey.
I'm just upset.
Dawson, have you noticed it's been kind of like that all day, though, down there?
Last couple weeks, maybe?
No, just today.
Oh, the traffic? Yes, yeah. The traffic has been bad today.
But Wolchuk's snipiness, a couple of weeks, maybe.
Eric, I said it was war the rest of the day after he had to bring up the damn Seager thing again.
I think Brian chose violence earlier as well. It's in the air.
I think it spices you went after the Chief. Show. I like it.
You went after Chief? Yeah, I do like it.
Oh, I'm Chief.
I'm not even a man yet. I'm not even 40.
Okay.
Jeez. Picking on a child over here, Brian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Disgrace.
Going after a kid who does everything right. Come at me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Where are we going next, son?
Well, we will start with a very sad sports death.
Somebody called him fat.
Someone
comes home crying.
No, this person was very skinny. He's dead now, and we will address that. But we also have some epic sounds of the day and stats of the day next in the nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive?
Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.